All right, let's start with a word of prayer this morning, shall we? Father, we certainly thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We, Lord, thank you for your creation and for the opportunity, Lord, to come and to worship you together. And Lord, as we do that this morning, Lord, Father, help us to listen and Lord, to heed your word. Father, thank you for your word to the seven churches. And as we've been looking at this final church, this is lesson number two. Lord, help us to, Lord, to learn again from what you have to say. Lord, this church had an estimation of itself, but it wasn't like your estimation of them. And Lord, help us to learn from this discussion from you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Please, Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. Yeah, and it'll be up on the screen as well. Verse 14. Yeah. And went to the angel of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and what neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Then I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and just white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As with many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I showed you this map two weeks ago. That is just Laodicea. There are seven churches in that region, and this is the seventh church Jesus has what spoken to. Let's review. Laodicea was a strategic city located at the crossroads of two crucial trading routes. It was a just prosperous commercial center. They were rich. They were known for, number one, banking. Lots of money. They didn't even need help from the government to repair the city when it was destroyed. Secondly, they had a textile industry, especially black wool. Thirdly, they had a school of ophthalmology, and noted for an eye salve that they had developed. But the city lacked water, so it had an aqueduct built to bring in water, and I believe that was 6 miles long. Some feet, 6 miles, to bring lukewarm water. Okay, that's where the lukewarmness. The church was what founded, apparently, by Epaphras. No praise is bestowed on this church, but only blame for its lukewarmness. Verse 14 of Revelation 3 says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and with true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Jesus called himself three things. I said what last week, according to that verse, he was the Amen, the faithful and with true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that word "the" is the definite article, the one and only. The one and only Amen. The one and only faithful and with true witness. The one and only beginning of the creation of God. Then verse 15. Jesus said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot." And I said that word "cold" means they're chilly, sluggish, inert. It means one what destitute of just of what warm Christian faith and the desire for holiness. And the word "hot" means boiled, metaphorically of what fervor of just mind and zeal, glowing with zeal, fervent. And I ask this question, which describes you? Are you hot or cold? Are you destitute of just of a warm Christian faith or the desire for holiness? Or do you have a fervent zeal for the things of God and are acting upon them? And that's where we ended last week. And so let's pick it up there, please. Verse 16. Verse 16 of this Revelation 3. "So then," Jesus says, "because you are lukewarm and what neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." That word "lukewarm" means metaphorically of the condition of the soul just wretchedly fluctuating between a torpor, which is an insensibility, dullness, stupidity, and a fervor of love. This is the only place in the scriptures where this lukewarm word is used, is right here. It is only used once. Jameson Fossedan Brown says, "Lukewarm, you having religion enough to lull the conscience in a false security, but not religion enough to save the soul." And if you have an outline, there's the blanks you can fill in right there, okay? I would kind of make it simple for you, okay? Lukewarm Christians, it lulls them into false security. And the New Believer's Bible Commentary says, "It was lukewarm enough to deceive people into thinking that it was a church of God." And so disgustingly just lukewarm about divine things as to nauseate the Most High. We're going to see that Jesus said, "I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth." Morris says, "I could wish that you were cold or hot," also points to another aspect of a lukewarmness, as a picture of uselessness. And so hot water heals, cold water refreshes, but lukewarm water is just useless for either purpose. So then, back to the verse, "So then, because you are lukewarm and what neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." The term "cold" implies the absence of enthusiasm. The tepid temperature has as its physical effect the sickening sense of just nausea. And in its and in its moral aspect causes, in most earnest minds, a loathing. The term hot denotes the temper of what fervent love, a what love that just warms and what animates the whole life. Think about a person who loves. When they enter the room, everything changes. There's a warmth. There's a positive sense of what something loved. So what is the result of just being lukewarm? Let's look at the verse again. So then, because you are lukewarm and when neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It doesn't seem very good there, does it? To throw up. And the pulpit commentary says the distaste, and what nausea that is produced by what lukewarm food, which his stomach naturally rejects with loathing, are what used as a figure in which to express the abhorrence of Christ for those who lack zeal in his service. Sometimes at home I cook. Well, a lot of times I cook. And, every once in a while it's not hot enough. Right, Cody? Dad, this isn't done. And so what do I got to do? I got to put it back in. It's lukewarm. Who wants to eat lukewarm food, right? I know Cody doesn't. This what past week I was lazy, and I had something that was a little lukewarm, and I ate it anyway. But Cody doesn't like that at all. He wants it hot. So does the Lord. He wants believers to have fervent love. To be hot for the things of God. To be on fire. That's what he wants of us. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. In fact, Leviticus 20:22 says this: You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. Even the land would vomit them out if they weren't following God's statutes and what judgments, there would be consequences. And what Jesus was saying that to this church. Robertson's word picture says, I will, or I'm about to, on the point of, they still had a chance to repent. We're going to look at that in some future verses here. Then Albert Barnes says the image is intensely strong. And what denotes deep disgust and just loathing at the indifference which prevailed in the church at just Laodicea. And so what happened to this church? There is no church that remains in what Laodicea. It is in what deed quite uninhabited. There is no church there today. They were vomited out. They disgusted the Lord. And that church paid the price. Now let's apply this lesson to ourselves before we move on. Are you hot cold or lukewarm toward the things of God? Do you have a fervor and a zeal for God? Or are you indifferent towards God? And just remember, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the unbelievers outside the church. This letter is written to the church itself. There was indifference in the church. Or do you sway between both ideas and are lukewarm? God can work with those who are cold. But if you are lukewarm, you are in a dangerous spot, just like these Laodiceans were. They were in a dangerous spot. God wants us to be hot, to have a fervor for him. He can work with us being cold because he can change that. But if we're lukewarm, nope. All he can do is vomit us out of his mouth. Next verse. What was their estimation of themselves? Look at Revelation 3, verse 17, please. This is their estimation. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What was that estimation? Three things. Because you say, this is what they were saying. I am rich, number one. Number two, you have become wealthy. And number three, you have need of nothing. Wow. What things to say. What things to say. That word rich means abundantly supplied, wealthy, abounding with. They had riches for sure. And the word wealthy means increased with goods, to have an abundance. Yes, they had what they needed. Physically speaking, what need of nothing means that they have everything necessary. They thought they had no need. Not even help from God. They thought they had everything. And popular New Testament says it was worldly prosperity that had made the church indifferent to the energy and power of divine truth. And Robertson Word Picture says, this church was in a rich city and was rich in pride and conceit, but the poor in grace and were ignorant of its spiritual poverty. Yes, they were rich physically, but spiritually, we're going to see they were poor, among other things. Paul Kretzmann says, the Lord adds a further characterization of a lukewarm behavior in the Christian church. Self-sufficiency. Self-satisfaction is an attribute of what lukewarm Christians. They were thinking about self. We have what we need. We don't need anything from God. David Gusick says, the church at Laodicea lacked a sense of what spiritual poverty. They looked at their spiritual condition and said, rich. They looked again and said, wealthy. They looked a third time and said, we have need of nothing. They are the opposite They are the opposite of what blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus spoke of in Matthew 5:3, which reads, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." This church had no sense of that whatsoever. So after Jesus tells them just what they said of themselves, Jesus now tells them just what he knows about them. Remember, he said, "I know your works. I know." Verse 17 again. "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." They didn't know that they were, number one, wretched. They were wretched. Even though I've been a Christian for almost 40 years, I still know that I'm a wretched sinner, but I'm saved by grace. But I am a wretched sinner. And that sin still tries to rear its ugly head. But I am still wretched. And secondly, miserable. They were miserable as well, and they didn't even know it. Thirdly, they were poor. Not materially, not physically, but spiritually they were poor. Fourthly, they were blind. They were blind to themselves. They had a wrong estimation. And then lastly, they were naked. They had no holy garments. They were not living righteously. That's vastly different from what they thought of themselves, isn't it? That's vastly different. Completely opposite. Number one, just wretched means enduring toils and troubles, afflicted. Their riches were actually causing them affliction spiritually. Secondly, just miserable means to be pitied. They thought they had everything, but they were to be pitied. Thirdly, poor means beggar, pauper, lacking in what anything, destitute of wealth, influence, position, honor. Exactly opposite of just what they thought. In what God's eyes, they were not honorable people. They weren't spiritually wealthy. They didn't have treasure in heaven. Fourthly, blind means smoky. Blind, mentally blind. They were blind to their true condition. Fifthly, naked means unclad, ill-clad, open, lay bare. Just without clothing. They were naked before the Lord. With no holiness, no white garments, which we're going to see later. The church thought they were rich materially and what spiritually. But the truth was, they were not rich spiritually. They were in a very sad state spiritually. Paul Kretschmann says, they are afflicted with blindness and do not know it. They are in need of with sympathy and would do not feel it. Rich they claim to be, but in reality are poor beyond conception. They think They think their eyes have been opened, whereas in just reality, they have returned to the spiritual blindness of their state before conversion. They are proud of their dress of just self-righteousness and what do not know that in the sight of God, they are bare and naked. Jameson, Fawcett, and what Brown say, yeah, how different Christ's estimate of men from their own estimate of themselves. I have need of nothing. They needed a lot. They needed God's help. Albert Barnes says their state was, in fact, a just miserable state and was suited to produce actual distress if they had any just sense of it, though they thought that it was otherwise and blind. That is, in a spiritual respect. They did not see the reality of their condition. They had no just views of themselves, of the character of God, of the way of salvation. Adam Clark said, and went naked, without the image of God, not clothed with holiness and purity. David Guzik says, what Jesus looked at their spiritual condition and said, wretched. He looked again and said, miserable. And a third time, what Jesus looked and said, poor. He looked again and said, blind. A final time, what Jesus looked and he saw that they were spiritually, excuse me, naked. Jesus said something similar to the Pharisees in what John chapter 9, 39 to 41. And what Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? So Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. See, they thought they were okay with God. They didn't think they were blind. They thought they knew God. But in just reality, they didn't know God because they didn't accept Jesus as the Son of God. They thought they could see, but they were really blind. Now let's get personal. The application. What is your estimation of yourself? What is your estimation of yourself? Are you holy? Or do you think you are? Do you think you're righteous? Do you think you're just? What is Jesus' estimation of you? What does he think of you? He would told this church his estimation. What is his estimation of you? Do these estimations agree? What do you need to work on? What do you need to work on so that you're not lukewarm? So that Jesus doesn't vomit us out of his mouth. What a charge Jesus gives to this church. Their estimation of themselves was completely wrong in what Laodicea. They had it all wrong. But thank God, Jesus gives them a chance to repent, and we'll talk about that at another time. But let's examine ourselves. Where am I? What do I believe? Am I living for Jesus? Do I have that zeal and what fervor that God wants me to have? Am I hot for the things of God? Or am I cold? Or even worse, am I lukewarm? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, your holy word gets to the point, as just we saw today. Lord, this church in what Laodicea thought they were okay. They had a positive estimation of themselves. But Lord, they did not. You pointed out exactly what they were. And Lord, I thank you in the next verse, Lord, that just you give them counsel how to escape. Father, thank you that, Lord, you don't want to vomit anyone out of your mouth. But Lord, you want us to be fervent for the things of God. And Lord, help us to be that, Father. May we realize what we truly are. And that we need you every single day. We need your word. We need to pray. We need to follow Christ. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily and follow you. Help us to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.